Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Megillah Daf Chaf Beis. We left off on Daf Chaf Aleph from Beis. We're at the two dots. Ein Pochsin Mehen Vein Mosif in about six lines from the end of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. Also sponsored by Morris Massel and Karen Benson Lizchusen for Shlema for Simcha Binyamin HaKohen Ben Yocheved. Also by David and Lisa Lasky, the Zeichen Nishmas Rav David Ben Chaim Hillel, David's maternal grandfather. Also by Simi and Moshe Kleinman, the Refor Shlema for Rachel Malka, Bas Sertel Shendel. Also by the Gross family, the Zeichen Nishmas, Chana Leia Bas Moshe Tzvi, Rav Moshe Yehuda Ben Rav Nachum, Chaya Leia Bas Naftali Hertzka, and Tzvi Menachem Ben Shmayahu. And also by the Balk family, as a zechus for a successful procedure today for Yair Shlomo Elimelech Ben Leia Esther, the Soch Shar Chalei Yisrael. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So again, we're holding about six lines from the end of the page on Daf Chaf Aleph and Beis, and the Gemara is going to discuss each person says a bracha before and after the aliyos nowadays, and then the Gemara is going to talk about how many aliyos we have and how to navigate the aliyos on Rosh Chodesh. If you have five psukim and you got to give two aliyos, so what do you do with that? So that's obviously a huge daf yomi coincidence that we spend time discussing how to do aliyos on Rosh Chodesh. In today's daf, we're also going to talk about a Tainus Tzibur and how many aliyos there should be on a Tainus Tzibur, because it's so curious. The Mishnah gave us how many aliyos you do pretty much on every day of the year, but somehow didn't mention Tainus Tzibur. So the Gemara is going to have to figure that out and try to bring rayas based on braisas, based on episodes that happened with Rav, and to figure out what the story is on the Tainus Tzibur. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about the issue of bowing, both by when it comes to bowing down on stone, that the issue of bowing down on a stone floor, as well as when it comes to leaning for tachnun and when one should or should not lean for tachnun. We're also going to mention the possibility that a Talmud Chacham gets the Kohen Aliyah in the presence of even in the presence of a Kohen, if he's a real Talmud Chacham Muflag, if he's really different and of greater chashivos than everybody else. We'll talk about the parameters of that a little bit. So let's begin six lines from the end of the page at the two dots. In Pochsin Man Vein Mosifin, that you don't do any less or more than those number of aliyos. But then what we're really going on is where the Mishnah said that Haposech V'Achosim B'Torah Mevarek Lefanel L'Achareha, that the one who gets the first aliyah says the bracha beforehand, the one who gets the last aliyah says the bracha after. So Tana Posech Mevarech Lefanel V'Achosim Mevarech L'Achareha. That means dafka that the guy who gets the Kohen aliyah says the first bracha before Kriyas HaTorah, the guy who gets the last aliyah says the last bracha after Kriyas HaTorah, but nobody in the middle says any other brachos. So Vayidna, but nowadays the Kula Mevarech Lefanel L'Achareha, nowadays everybody gets an aliyah, says two brachos, both Lefanel and Lachra, Hainu time with the Tekinu Rabbanon. Why would the Rabbanon Misakin to do that? Kazera Mishuma Nechnas and Mishuma Yotzin, because we're afraid someone's going to come into the shul after the first guy already said his bracha. They're not going to hear that there was a bracha at the beginning of Kriyas HaTorah, and they're going to think that there is no bracha before Kriyas HaTorah. Or maybe someone is going to leave shul before Kriyas HaTorah is over. He's not going to hear that there's no bracha after Kriyas HaTorah, and he's going to think that there's no such thing as a bracha after Kriyas HaTorah, which is difficult because the assumption is that this is a person who's going to come late every time, or is going to leave early every time, meaning every other time. And also, it assumes that people will assume that they know what happens when they're not there and what doesn't happen when they're not there. I'm not sure why they would make that assumption. I would assume that if I left early and I wasn't there, what happened after Kriyas HaTorah, I would assume that I don't know what happens after Kriyas HaTorah. I don't think I would assume necessarily that they're not saying a bracha after Kriyas HaTorah, but maybe he's going to judge by the other aliyos that the other olim didn't say a bracha after, so they'll just assume that there's no bracha after. So then the Mishnah said, "Bracha chadashim chalosh moed karin arba'a." Then Rosh Chodesh chalamoed, there are four aliyos. So by meleilum bar rav me rava. Parshas Rosh Chodesh, the parsha that we read in Rosh Chodesh, Ketzat Koronasa, how do we divide it up among four people? Meaning we relate on Rosh Chodesh, we have four olim, but how do we divide up those psukim among four people? The parsha Satamid of Tzavis, Bnei Yisrael, Marta, Alim, Skorbani, Lachmi, Tavian, Tmanya, Psukim, is eight psukim, Hechi, Navin. How do you divide that up? So Nikri, Trey, Tlasa, Tlasa, Psukim, should you give two two aliyos of three psukim each, that can't be, because parsha lutrei, then at the end of the parsha you'll be left with two psukim. Vein misharim parsha pachs mishosha psukim. You can't finish an aliyah within three psukim of the end of the parsha. So there's no way you could stop the parsha two psukim short of the end. So let's do the more natural thing. Nikri arba'a arba'a. Let two people read four psukim each, and therefore you're going to have another two aliyos that you're going to have to figure out. So pashaluhu shiva. So you're going to be left with seven more psukim to then split among two aliyos. Because Abayom HaShabbos havyon trei. Abayom HaShabbos is a parsha that contains only two psukim. And Rashi Chatshechem is five psukim. So that equals seven psukim. Seichinavid, how are you going to divide those seven psukim to two aliyos? Nikri Trei Meha V'chad Mehanach. You want the guy who reads Shlishi to read two psukim from one parsha and then one into the two psukim from Biyom HaShabbos, because there only are two psukim in Biyom HaShabbos, and then the first pasuk of Rashi Chatshechem? You can't do that either, because we have a klal that Ein Maschilin BeParsha Mishlosh Psukim. That when you're starting a parsha, you have to go at least three psukim in. You cannot start only one pasuk into the parsha. So you're not able to finish an aliyah one pasuk into the parsha of Brashi Chatshechem. So likri tremeha tosameach. So what, you want to do both psukim of Yom HaShabbos and then go three psukim into Brashi Chatshechem? But pashalu trei, the whole Brashi Chatshechem is only five psukim, so you're only going to be left with two at the end. And you're not, and we just said you're not allowed to stop an aliyah within three psukim of the end of the parsha. So you're stuck. So Rava said, you know, zo lo shamati. I don't have a tradition as to what you're supposed to do on Rosh Chodesh. But I'll tell you about kayotze bashamati. I do have a tradition about something similar. And we can learn from where I do have a tradition to our situation. It's not, because there's a Mishnah that tells us when it comes to the Kriyas HaTorah and the Ma'amados, that b'yom harishon, then on the first day of the week, they would read Bereishis Vayirakia, where it describes the Brias, whatever Hashem created on the first and second days. V'tani Allah, and the Brisa says, how would they divide that into three aliyos? Bereishis b'shnayim, Bereishis was split among two, and Yehi Rakia be'echad, and Yehi Rakia was the third aliyah. V'avinu ba, so they asked about that. Wait a second, Bishlam Yehi Rakia be'echad, d'tlas p'sukei avu. I get how Yehi Rakia could be an aliyah because it's three psukim. Ela Bereishis b'shnayim, chamisha p'sukim avu. But how do you split Bereishis among two olim? It's only five psukim. V'tanya akari b'tarla yivchos mishlosh p'sukim, and each olah has to get at least three psukim. V'itmar Allah. So they said that two possibilities. Rav Amar Doleg. Rav says that the first guy reads the first three psukim, then the second guy repeats pasuk number three and reads pasuk 3, 4, and 5. Ushmuel Amar Posek, and Shmuel says no. The first guy reads 2.5 psukim, and then the second guy reads the remaining 2.5 psukim. So the machlokas Rav and Shmuel that you have by the kriya on the mamados, Rav says from that machlokas you could derive what to do on Rosh Chodesh. That according to Rav, the first guy will read the first three psukim, and the second guy will repeat the middle pasuk. And according to Shmuel, you'll split the middle pasuk. First guy will read 2.5, and the second guy will read 2.5. So the Gemara says, well, why would each one say what they say and not what the other one says? Rav Amar Doleg, my time alone, Amar Posek. Why doesn't Rav like the idea of cutting the middle pasuk in half? So no, because Kasavar kol psukah to lo paske Moshe and lo paskinan lei. Says he's not allowed to do that. Any pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't end at that spot, you're not allowed to end it at that spot. We're not allowed to start chopping up psukim. Ushmuel amar paskinan lei va'amar Rabbeinu kara. But how could Shmuel say that we do split up psukim? After all, didn't Rabbi Chanina kara say he was a kara means he was a bal mikra, he was a baki in lading and in reading mikra, and he said sar gadol ha'ili etzel Rabbi Chanina gadol, that I had such trouble when I was by Rabbi Chanina gadol to get a heter from him v'lo hiterli livsok ali tinoko shebesav nolu l'samir asuyin. The only heter he ever gave me to break up a pasuk is when I was teaching children, because they needed to be able to understand. And in order to learn, you can't just read a whole pasuk. They need to be able to absorb phrase by phrase. Just like by Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, the Rashi writes in Vayikra Aleph Aleph, Umayav Sakos, Mishamshos, Litin Revach, L'moshel is Bonin, Bin Parsha, L'Parsha, Beninin, L'Inin. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu needed between the Parshios. That's why we have these breaks in the Parshios to internalize what he's being taught. So a child on a much smaller level needs only phrase by phrase. He can't be given a whole pasuk at a time. So, but bottom line is, you see that from Rabbi Chanina, that we don't split a pasuk into two. So it's unlikely that Shmuel just rejects that whole din that we don't split psukim. So why is Shmuel okay with splitting psukim? So says Gemara, very simple. Hasam time of time of to lo afshar. Why did Rabbi Chanina allow it for the tinokos? Why did he allow it for teaching the children? Because there's no other way to teach children. It's lo afshar. So you see a klal from there that even though you're not allowed to split psukim, when it's lo afshar, you are allowed to split psukim. So Hanami lo afshar by kriyas haTorah of the mamados. There's no other option. What else are you going to do? So says Mar, what is he going to do? Do what Rav said. Ushmol amar posek, my time lo amar doleg. Why does Shmuel think that you split a pasuk? Just do what Rav said. Go back and repeat the middle pasuk, and then you'll be fine. Says Mar, no gzeru mishomer nechnasin umishom ayotzin. No, he was concerned about the nechnasin and the yotzin. That the nechnasin after the first aliyah, people who come late and they're going to see that the second guy started from the third pasuk are going to think that the first guy only read two pasukim, and people who leave early. And they leave after the first aliyah, and they're going to realize that there are only two pesukim remaining in the parsha after the first ola. They're going to think that the next ola is only going to read those two pesukim from the parsha. So in order not to give the wrong impression to the nechassin and the yotzin, it's efshar, because we cannot give the wrong impression, and therefore we split the pasuk in half, and that is the shita of Shmuel. So this idea that a pasuk, that we don't split a pasuk in half, that we never say half a pasuk, doesn't seem entirely true, because there are lots and lots of places in our davening and other things where we do split a pasuk, where we do seem, and it seems that this halacha is even b'shas halimud, right? Because he said that Tsar Gadol Hayali, what was his name, Rabbi Chanina Kara, Rabbi Chanina, the teacher of Mikra, said it was a Tsar Gadol to get this heter, and I only got the heter when teaching children because lo efshar. But it sounds like if you're teaching people who it is efshar, that you're not even in the context of teaching Torah, you're not allowed to do. It's not only a din in Kriyas HaTorah. So the Rokeach quotes that his brother Rabbeinu Yecheskel, the Rokeach in Siman Shin Yotes, wonders why it is that by the pasuk Yahalu Hashem Hashem, when they bring the Sefer Torah to be machzirit, that the Shatz says half a pasuk, and the Kahal finishes the pasuk Hodol Eretz Hashemayim, and then they add other pasukim together with it. Why would they split a pasuk? You're not allowed to split a pasuk. And the Rokeach brings other places that they do such a thing, by the pasuk of Akara Ze'el Zevi Amar, or by the Bracha Mila, the Shliach Tzibur says Hodol Hashem Kitov, and everyone says Ki Liolam Chazdo. So the Rokeach says that because the srafim are being korim to each other, they're calling to each other, lahaktish liotzram, to together be maktish HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then they all join in together. So, and that's exactly what the Shatz is doing, that when it's something that's responsive, with the Shliach Tzibur is calling the Tzibur to action, that let's go and finish up and finish this pasuk, then the Shliach Tzibur is allowed to say the first half and everyone else is allowed to respond. The Magen Avraham doesn't agree with the Rokech that you're allowed to split these pasukim, because the Gemara's Mefurash that you're not supposed to split psukim. So to come up with your own svara of why it's okay is not going to be enough to outdo what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara is explicit that you're not supposed to split psukim. So the Magen Avraham himself gives a slightly different reason based on Sota Daf Lamed Amud Beis, that Moshe Rabbeinu says Ashiru LaHashem, and then Klal Yisrael repeats Ashiru LaHashem. So you find that initially when some of these psukim were said, they were said responsively, and they were said in such a way where it was split and it was responsive. So those psukim that initially were written to be responsive are allowed to be said responsively, even though the first person who says it is not saying the entirety of the pasuk. Tosus and Sukkah raises another question. Tosus and Sukkah Lamed Chesem Beis says it's Ana Hashem Oshiyana, and then everyone says Ana Hashem Oshiyana, and when the Shat says Ana Hashem Asichana, and they say Ana Hashem Asichana, but in our Gemara it says we're not allowed to split up Sukkah unless it's for Tinokos. So Tosus says, how are we allowed to do that? So he says that when it's Shnei Bnei Adam that are saying it, it's it's different. So again, that same similar idea that when things are said responsibly, but this doesn't answer what the Chasam Sofer and the Maram Shik deal with, which is at the beginning of Kiddush on Friday night, we begin with the middle of a pasuk, Yom HaShishi, and some start with Vayer Vayivoker. So that's the middle of a pasuk called Pesukot Lo Paskin Moshe Anon Lo Paskinan. So Chasam Sofer says that they want to start Yom HaShishi because they want to be Mitzarif, the Shem Yudke Vavke, in the first four, in the Rosh Tevis of the first four words of Kiddush. So Yom HaShishi Vayichul HaShemayim is a Shem Yudke Vavke. So that's a big Indian, apparently, to get that. So to start Yom HaShishi is not Matim, because it doesn't mean anything. Yom HaShishi doesn't have any mashmaos. So that's why we start Vayir Vayivoker Yom HaShishi. And you can't go back to the beginning of the Pasuk, Vayir Elokim Eskol HaSharasa V'inei Tov Ma'od, because that would be a terrible way to start off Shabbos, because Chazal of Adrasha, Tov Ma'od, Zehamaves. So it's this would qualify, therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, that it's of a situation of E-Efshar. That's a broad definition of E-Efshar, because we're trying to get this Inyan of Yudke Vavke. And we don't want to say something that's just totally out of context by just saying Yom HaShishi. And Tov Ma'od is something that we try to avoid. Therefore, it's Yafshar. It's impossible to do it in any other way. Okay, but that's what they suggest. There is a Chiddush in Magen Giborim in Aruch Chaim Sim Memtes where he says maybe when there's an Esnachta in the Pasuk, that's mamish the same as the Sof Pasuk, and you're allowed to stop wherever there's an Esnachta in the Pasuk. However, Chasam Sofer in the Tshuva says that it doesn't sound that way at all from all the discussions in the Rishonim, that an Esnachta is good enough. Another issue that they say from Rav Chaim Velazhner is when they do Hagba, Vizos HaTorah Shesom Moshe B'nei Mnei Yisrael, Pi Hashem B'yad Moshe. So the Pasuk of Vizos HaTorah until B'nei Yisrael is in Dvarim Dalin Mem Dalin, but the Pasuk of Pi Hashem B'yad Moshe is a Chatzi Pasuk in Bamidbar Perek Tes Pasuk Chav Gimel. That's only half a pasuk. So how can we cut that pasuk in half? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't cut the pasuk in half. So in the Perush Dover Shalom in the Otzar Tfilos, he says that you shouldn't say Al Pi Hashem B'yad Moshe because it's doubling it over, because it already says Zos HaTorah Shemosh Rabbeinu Bnei Yisrael. And he quotes in the name of Chaim Velazhner that the minug is a messed up minug, and you say the entire pasuk in Bamidbar Al Pi Hashem Yachnu Al Pi Hashem Yisu Es Mishmeres Hashem Shomer Al Pi Hashem B'yad Moshe. But in Masechta Sofrim it doesn't mention anything other than the pasuk of Vizos HaTorah Shemosh Rabbeinu Bnei Yisrael to say at Hagbah. So somehow the minug got corrupted somewhere along the way. That's how they say from Reb Chaim Velazhner. But anyway, but this is a real issue, not to split a pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu himself didn't split. Okay, so now the Gemara raises a question on Rav and Shmuel. So Meisvei, we had a brisa when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah throughout the year. Parsha shel shisha psukim korinos abishnayim. If you have a parsha that's six psukim, you split it up into two aliyos. Shel chamisha psukim biyachid. If you have a parsha that's five psukim, you can only have one ola. Kara rishon shlosha. Because obviously you can only have one because there's no easy way to split it. Kara rishon shlosha. If the first person read three psukim, the second guy cannot just read the two psukim that remain. Hasheni kori shnayim miparsha zu ve'echem miparsha acheres v'yeshom. The next guy has to finish the last psukim of that parsha and then either read one pasuk into the next parsha to be mashum as three psukim, or three psukim into the next parsha, because you're not allowed to start less than three psukim into a parsha. So you see from the brisa that there's no other eitza. If the first guy read three psukim, you're going to have to add from the following parsha. But the misa, but if you hold like Rav or Shmuel, lamandi amar doleg nidlog. If you hold, you're allowed to go back and repeat pasuk number three. Well, mind you, pasuk nifsuk. If you only allow to split it, so split the pasuk. So you see that you can't be doleg or posik. That's not an option. That you have to read the entire parsha. Says where no shiny asam ta'afshar ba'achi. The Bryce is talking about a case of a kriyas haTorah on Monday or Thursday where there's no limit to how far you're allowed to go into the parsha. So you're always able to go further into the next parsha, and therefore, of course, we don't prefer to be doleg or to be posik. It's just that on Rosh Chodesh we're limited, because we only read X number of psukim, so we have no choice. But when you have the option of just reading a few more psukim into the parsha that you're reading, okay, so read a few more psukim. and it shouldn't be a problem. In the Brisa you have Machlokas, whether the second Parsha, when you go into that next Parsha, you read one or three Pesukim into the next Parsha. So how do we Paskin? Omer Abitalkum Rabbi Shomon Levi, Halacha Kiyesh Omer. That the Halacha is like Kiyesh Omer, that if the first guy read the first three Pesukim of a five Pasuk Parsha, the second guy should read the following two Pesukim and three Pesukim into the next Parsha, because you don't want to read only one Pasuk into the next Parsha. Okay, so we Paskin like the Yesh Omer, that you don't begin less than three Pesukim in the Parsha. So says Gemara, Vamar Abitalkum Rabbi Shomon Levi, Kishem Shein Maschilim Beparsha Pachs Mishlosh Pesukim, Kachin Mishairin Beparsha Pachs Mishlosh Pesukim. Just like we say, when you go into a new Parsha, you have to go in at least three Pesukim. So to when you stop toward the end of a Parsha, you have to stop at least three Pesukim from the end of the Parsha. Says Gemara, of course, Pshita, Hashem Maschalta Tekomekel Tanakama. If Legabe is starting a Parsha with less than three Pesukim, where the Tanakama is Mekel, and he holds that you're allowed to start with less than three Pesukim, like we said, that you can read one Pesuk from the following Parsha, and nevertheless, Machmir Yeshomrim, the Yeshomer Machmir, and hold that you're not allowed to start less than three Pesukim into the Parsha. She or leaving three Pesukim into the Parsha, the Machmir Tanakama, where the Tanakama is also Machmir, because he said in the Brisa that the Parsha that's five Pesukim is Koronos of Yachid. So it sounds like the Yachid has to read all five Pesukim, and you're not allowed to stop less than three Pesukim from the end of the Parsha. So of course the Yeshom is going to be more Machmir about that. Meaning you see from here that there's more reason to be Machmir about leaving three Pesukim at the end than there is to be Machmir about starting less than three Pesukim into the Parsha. So it says, Ma'al detem and nechnas and shchichi. Now I might have thought that people coming late, that happens all the time, but who would leave early? I mean, the Manchi Sefer Torah V'Nafki, people are going to leave the Sefer Torah while it's out, people are going to leave in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, that would never happen. That would Chum don't need to make zeros about such crazy things. People wake up late, okay, people are human, but to leave as the Sefer Torah is up, that's just a chutzpah, no one's going to do that. So Kamash Malad, so that's why Rabbi Shimon Levi tells me, yeah, people do that too, and it's Kedai to be goes there for Yotzim as well. So the Tanakama Maishna Shiri Delo. Why does the Tanakama think leaving Pesukim at the end of the Parsha is not worth making Gzera? Mishum Yotzin Aschulei Nami Gzera Mishum. I'm sorry, why is it that to leave Pesukim at the end of the Parsha, you have to be careful? You're not allowed to leave three Pesukim at the end of the Parsha. Mishum Yotzin, it's because of the people who are going to leave early and get the wrong impression. Well, Aschulei Nami Gzera Mishum Anachnasin. To begin a Parsha less than three Pesukim, we should also Aser, because of the Nechrasim, because of people who come late, and that is, after all, more common. So why isn't the Tanakhama making that Gezera? So Amri, Mandail, Shul, Yishayil. People do come late, but when they're late, they're already, by the time they come late, now they're in Shul. So they can ask, hey, what happened? What did I miss? You know, so they can catch up and whatever went on before them. So you don't have to worry about the impressions that they're going to get, because they could ask if their impression is correct. But when a person leaves early, he's going to get the wrong impression, and he's going to have no one to ask, because now he's on the train on his way to work. So there's no one to ask. So Shalach Rabba Breid Rabba Rav Yosef Hilchsamai. How do we paskin about splitting Kriyas HaTorah of the Ma'amados? Do we paskin Doleg or do we paskin Posek? Like Rav or like Shmuel? So Shalach Hilchsa Doleg Ve'emtsot Yidolgan. The Allah is that the second Ola reads the third Pasuk again, then the second guy reads the middle of the three Pesukim, so he's the one that's Choser and reads that third Pasuk that the first guy already read, and then he adds two more Pesukim from the Parsha, and then you read the Shlishi for three Pesukim of the Parsha of Yehirakia. So Zakal Kol Sheish B'Mosav. So good. So that now we dealt with Rosh Chodesh, we dealt with Ma'amados, Dole Posik. So now we know what to do with Kriyas HaTorah this morning. Wonderful. So Zakal Kol Sheish B'Mosav. Whenever there's a Musaf, there are always four Aliyos. So the Gemara says the number of people that you call up for most days is explicit in the Mishnah. But Ibayilu Tainas Sibur Bekama. It didn't say how many Olim there are on a Tainas Sibur. How many Aliyos do you give out on a Tainas Sibur? So Rosh Chodesh Moedika Karbon Musaf Arba'a. Maybe Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, where there's a Karbon Musaf, they get four Aliyos. There's no carbon musaf on the tiny seabor. Lo, maybe there shouldn't be four aliyos. Or maybe tiny seabor is also like a musaf. There's no carbon musaf, but there's added tefila. We say anenu. So maybe you should get four aliyos. So Tashema says, well, let's try to bring some rayas. So raya number one. When the Mishnah had said, Barashi Chadash Mechol Shul Moed Karin Arba'a. So it says when you get four aliyos. On Rosh Chodesh Mechol Moed, diuk you should make is Habitaini Sibur Shlosh, so that a tiny Sibur does not get four aliyos, only gets three aliyos. Says Mar, yeah, but Eimer Resha, B'sheni B'chamisha B'shabes Mincha Karin Shlosha. It also gives a list of when there are three aliyos, and it says Monday, Thursday, Shabbos Mincha. That's when there are three aliyos. So you can make a diuk from there. Hatainis Sibur Arba'a. That would imply that Tainis Sibur gets four aliyos. El Mehal Dakal Mishra Mina. So obviously you can't be Medayik from the Mishnah, because the Mishnah just skipped Tainis Sibur. So Asemis is bothered. Why Taka did the Mishnah skip Tainis Sibur? It goes through every possible day. It doesn't mention how many aliyos you get on a Tainis Sibur. So he says it's because of the line in the Mishnah where it talks about being Maftir Benavi. So Tainis Sibur doesn't fit any category because we do have a Haftarah on Tainis Sibur. And on all the days that get three aliyos and the days that get four aliyos, we said Ein Maftirin Benavi. So Tainis Sibur wouldn't fit those lines in the Mishnayos. So we're going to fit it in with the days that are Maftir Benavi. Tainis Sibur definitely doesn't get as many aliyos as the days that you are Maftir Benavi. That's on Yom Tov and Yom Kippur and Shabbos. So since it didn't fit neatly into any of the categories, so that's why we don't mention. Okay, you have to come up with something. So Tashma says, well, let's bring another raya, what to do on a Tainis Sibur. The Ravik, the Bavel, Tainis Sibur. Rav once went to Bavel on a Tainis Sibur. Come, Kara B'Sifra. He got up to read from the Torah, Pasuk Baruch, and when he started to read, he said a bracha, Chasim V'lo Baruch, and when he finished reading, he did not say a bracha. And another unusual thing he did, which we'll discuss in Amud Beis, is Nafal Kuli Alma and Payu. Everyone else did Nefilas Sapayim. V'Rav, lo Nafal Alape. But Rav didn't do Nefilas Sapayim. He didn't fall on his face. So Michti, going back to that first Hanhaga that Rav did, that he started with a bracha but didn't end with a bracha. Rav be Yisrael Kara. Rav must have gotten an Aliyah be Yisrael because he was not a Kohen nor was he a Levi. He was a Yisrael. So he must have gotten Shlishi. My time Chasim Vlo Baruch. How could he not say a bracha after his Aliyah if he got Shlishi? La Mishum Dabai L'Mikri Achrina Basrei. Meaning everyone agrees that the last guy has to say a bracha after his Kriya Satara. So Rav must have realized that there's going to be another Ola after him. So you see a clear raya that there must have been a Revi'i. So it must be that there are four Olin on a Tainis Sibur. Says Mara, lo, Rav Bekani Kar. Rav didn't get Shlishi. Rav got the Kohen Aliyah. The Rav Kahuna Kari Bekani, because we find Rav Huna was also not a Kohen, and he got the Kohen Aliyah. Not every time someone gets a Kohen Aliyah, are they a Kohen? It could be that they're a massive Talmud Chacham, and that because of their godless in Torah, they rate to get the Kohen Aliyah. So says Mara, what's the raya from Rav Huna, that just because Rav Huna got the Kohen Aliyah, that Rav is allowed to get the Kohen Aliyah? Bishlam Rav Huna Kari Bekani, Da'afilu Rav Ami, Rav Asi, Dekani, Chashiv, Da'ari Yisrael. Well, Mechav Kaifel Rav Huna. I understand Rav Huna would get the Kohen Aliyah because even the most chashva Kohanim in Eretz Yisrael were totally kafuf to Rav Huna because of his godless. El Rav, Hikashmol, the Kana, have a Vidvarale. Rav had Shmuel who was a Kohen, and he was elevated above Rav. So Rav had to get Shlishi. Rav couldn't get Kohen. A Talmud Chacham can only get Kohen when he's the biggest Talmud Chacham, when he's the one that everyone recognizes. Mishichmo Lamaila from everybody else. But Rav had Shmuel. So Shmuel Nami Mechav have a kaif with Rav. And Sigmar, no. Shmuel was totally kafuf to Rav also. Rav who davel le kavod. Rav did a mice of kavod toward Shmuel. But v'chiavod le befanav. But that was only when Shmuel was there. But Shlob befanav lo avod le. But he didn't do such a kavod to Shmuel that he would turn down the Kohen Aliyah if Shmuel wasn't present in the shul. So because Shmuel was kafuf to Rav, and it's very shaykh that Rav got the first Aliyah, and therefore we have no raya as far as how many aliyos there are in Tainis Sibur based on Rav's behavior in Tainis Sibur of not saying a bracha afterwards. And Achinami Mistavr, the Rav Bekani Kar, it's most Mistavr that Rav got the Kohen Aliyah. We said the story that Rav got an Aliyah, he said a bracha before his Aliyah and just didn't say a bracha after his Aliyah. So our whole raya is, oh, why didn't he say a bracha after his Aliyah? Must be there was someone after him. Why did he say a bracha before his Aliyah? Must be because he got the first Aliyah. Must be that he got the Kohen Aliyah. Otherwise, he went to say a bracha. Says Mar, nah, not a raya. La achar takana. Maybe this was after the takana that they were ready misakin that everyone should say a bracha before their Aliyah. Yachil achar nami livrach. If it was after the takana, everyone says a bracha after their Aliyah also. Shaini Hechel Diyasav Rav Demeil Aili Mefak Lonafki. Now maybe where Rav lived, things were different, because Rav told them not to leave. He taught them properly not to ever leave in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. So since the takana that everyone has to say a bracha before and after is because of the nichnasim and yotzim, people who come late, and the people who leave early, where Rav was, he didn't have to worry, because people did come late sometimes. That you're never going to solve in Klal Yisrael. But he taught them to have a little kavanah Torah that people shouldn't leave early in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. At least that much he was able to teach them. So even if Rav was the Shlishi and he said a bracha lefanel because of the takana, he wouldn't say a bracha lacharel unless he was the last one to get the aliyah, because he didn't have to worry about yotzin. So Tashma says, well, let's try to bring another raya, a third raya, as far as how many aliyos there are in a tainus seaboard. Zaklal, kol shiyish bo bitul melacha la'am. Whenever there's going to be bitul melacha for the people, meaning the day is a day where you're allowed to work, so you can't keep people in shul forever because people have to get to work. Kigon tainus seaboard, like a tainus seaboard where you're allowed to do melacha. B'tish ba'av, which is also technically mutar b'malacha, except for a makamos that they're knowing not to do malacha. Korin shloshes, then you only give three aliyos. V'shein bo bitul malacha la'am. But if it's a day that's also b'malacha anyway, and look what the Gemara says, kigon rosh chadashim, like Rosh Chodesh, where there's an isra malacha anyway, v'cholo shalmoed, and cholo moed, korin arba, then you're going to get four aliyos. So the if you look at the top tosos, the kasha, the parakein dorshin b'chagiga, amrin in Rosh Chodesh, yuchiach sheyesh bo karbon masuf, umutar basiyas malacha. The Gemara Chagiga says Rosh Chodesh is mutar basiyas malacha. And over here we're saying that it's asur basiyas malacha. V'yishlom devade mutar basiyas malacha la'anashim, aval nashim asuros b'malacha, v'yishlo parku nizmei b'maisei egel. So Tosos says an interesting yisod, that it's true that that men are allowed to do malacha on Rosh Chodesh, but women do not do malacha on Rosh Chodesh. And the reason they don't do malacha on Rosh Chodesh, it's a gift to women that they get an extra day of Yom Tov, they get an extra day of not doing malacha, because they did not participate in the Cheder Egel, and because they didn't participate, this is their reward, is that they get a day of Issa Malacha for Rosh Chodesh. Obviously, the Mordechai writes in the name of the Ri that a malacha kveda, like plowing and planting, doing heavy farm work, is asr even for men. Tosfos and Rosh Hashanah sounds this way as well, Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, but not that it's mikra din, but that's the minhag. Pri Chadash writes that people who are knowing not to do malacha on Rosh Chodesh is a minhag betotlus, and that's the Birkei Yosef, the Chida writes in Birkei Yosef as well, it's quoted by Shari Tshuva. So the Maimur Mordechai, he writes in the name of the Seder Ayom that it is a proper minhag, even for men, and we shouldn't be mevatel such a minhag. So in Tshuva's Yosef Ometz, he brings the rayas from Shitos and Rishonim that there is makom for a minhag for men not to do malacha, and that's a good thing for men not to do malacha. Mishnah Brura, he's passing like the Pri Chadash, that the minhag of men not doing malacha is a minhag tolos. So like tosos, meaning that if you're a Daf Yomi Jew and you just glance at tosos, so you got the correct impression that women don't do malacha, but men do malacha. What does it mean women don't do malacha? They don't do any malacha. So it doesn't mean any malacha. It means malachas that are a real tircha. It could be that it's only malachas of like sewing and things of that nature that they have to be careful about, but not necessarily not to turn on a light, malachas of convenience and things like that. That certainly women would do. But anyway, so the Gemara is saying the context that this comes up over here is that we're trying to prove how many aliyos there are on a tainus tzibur. So we said whenever there's going to be bitul malacha because there are people that have to work, and on a tainus tzibur people go to work, you're only supposed to give three aliyos. So Shema Minah says, well, yeah, you see that there are only three aliyos on a tainus tzibur. Amar Rav Ashi va'anan lo tanan hachi. Aye, but we learned differently in our Mishnah. Zakal kol yom sheish bo musaf ein yom tov korin arba'a. That if it's not a yom tov, but there is a korban musaf, you get four aliyos, including Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, that there are four aliyos. So lasu yemei lav lasu tainus tzibur v'tishbav. But by making it a klal, what's it coming to teach me? Isn't it coming to teach me tainus tzibur and tishbav? You also get four aliyos. Ula Rav Ashi, and according to Rav Ashi, who learns from our Mishnah that in a tainus tzibur and tishbav you get four aliyos, masnis and money, lo tanakama v'lo Rabbi Yossi. Then our Mishnah doesn't fit any shita, it doesn't fit the tanakama nor Rabbi Yossi. The tanya, because by kriyas haTorah and tishbav we have a brisa, chalios b'sheni b'chamishi. If Tishba falls out on Monday or Thursday, where you're going to read three aliyos anyway because it's Monday or Thursday, Korin Shlosha Umaftir Echad. You add a maftir on top of the three aliyos. But Bishlisha Revi, if Tishma falls out on Tuesday or Wednesday, where you wouldn't otherwise lay, Kore Echad Umaftir Echad. There's only one Ola plus a maftir. Rabbi Yossi Omer Li Olam Korin Shlosha Maftir Echad. Rabbi Yossi says it's always three aliyos plus a maftir whenever Tishma falls out. But according to Ravashi, that our Mishnah understands that on Tishma you get there are four aliyos. That's not like the Tanakama who said that there's one, nor like the Rabbi Yossi who said that there's three. Ravashi's against the Ravashi's understanding of our Mishnah is that there are four is against everybody. That Lakash is HaKlal. So okay, but if Ravashi's incorrect, so Ravashi's Raya was from the Zeh HaKlal. So what do we learn from the Zeh HaKlal? Lo Lasir Rosh Chodesh Moed. The Zeh HaKlal is not coming to tell me that Titus Tzibor and Tishbav Yilein four Aliyos. No, it's coming to tell me that Rosh Chodesh Chol Moed Yilein four Aliyos. Says Mar, Zeh HaKlal is telling me that. Habed Yekatanila. The Mishnah said Rosh Chodesh Moed Karin Arba. It said that Beferish. I don't need a Zeh HaKlal. Oh, it's coming to be Marba. What I don't already know that Rosh Chodesh and Chol Moed there are four Aliyos. It said that Beferish that Rosh Chodesh and Chol Moed there are four Aliyos. Since the Gemara, the Mishnah is not telling me any new dinim with the Zeh HaKlal. Siman Abialma Yahiv. The Mishnah is giving me a mnemonic. It's giving me an easy way to remember which days get how many aliyos. So it tells me to Lod Tema, don't think Yom Tov Chol Shel Moed Ki Adadi Ninu, that Yom Tov Chol Moed are the same as far as the number of aliyos they get. Elin Nekotai Klal Abiyadcha. You should take the following klal, and with this klal, you'll always know how many aliyos to lay. Called the Tafile Milsa Mechavre Tafile Gavri Yaseva. Whenever there's something extra that one day has over another, it likely means that there's an extra aliyah that you lay on that day over the others. Hilkach, Rosh Chodesh Moed Di'ika Karban Musaf. So Rosh Chodesh Moed have something extra. This is Karban Musaf. So Karan Arba'a. There are four aliyahs. Biyom Tov Dasa Besiyas Malacha. Yom Tov is Nisra Malacha. Chamisha. So then there are five aliyahs. Biyom Kippurim Donish Kares. Not only is Dasa Du Malacha, you get Kares for Du Malacha. Shisha. Then there are going to be six aliyahs. Shabbos Tikis Skila. Shabbos not only is an Isra Malacha, not only is it Karis, it's Skila. So then Shiva, then you can get seven aliyahs. So the Gemara says, well, okay, good. Now we dealt with how many aliyahs we have on a Titus Sibra, how many aliyahs we have on all the other days. But one of the rayas that we brought about, how many aliyos we have on a Tainus Tzibur, was based on the story of Rav. That Rav went on a Tainus Tzibur, and he made a bracha before, and he didn't make a bracha after. And then we mentioned, oh yeah, by the way, he did something else that was unusual. Everyone else fell on their face, and he didn't. So now we're going to focus on that. It's got nothing to do with our topic, but once we mentioned that Rav fell on his face, everyone else fell on their face, and Rav didn't. So we're going to talk a little bit about bowing and falling on your face. So Gufa, Ravik l'bavl b'Tainus Tzibur, come. Rav didn't go down on his face. My time arrived. Why didn't Rav go down on his face like everybody else? It was because the floor was made of stone. V'tanya, and the Brisa tells us, you're not allowed to bow on a ritzpa shel avanim outside of the Beis HaMikdash, because v'yevin maskis l'sitnu b'artzichem l'shtachva soleha. It's a pasuk. So we have to m'shtachva b'artzichem. So on levin maskis, you're not allowed to bow b'artzichem. But you are allowed to bow on the Avon of the Beis HaMikdash from the Ezra Yisrael and further in. So even a Ritzpa Shal Avonim is included in the Yisr being Mishtachva Kedu'ula Damrullo Asra Torah L'Ritzpa Shal Avonim Bilvad, that the Torah only asks a Ritzpa Shal Avonim. So you see, that's why Rav didn't want to fall on his face in the Beis HaKnesses, because he wouldn't bow on a Ritzpa Shal Avonim. Ihachi Mayir Rav Afil Kulunami. Wait, we said when he went to the shul, it was unusual because everybody else was bowing and he wasn't. But if there's an issur to be mishtachva al ritzpa shel avanim, and in that shul they had a ritzpa shel avanim, why is Rav the only one that was following the halacha? So afilu kulunami. Says Gemara, no, the shul didn't have like a uniform floor. Kamei de Rav havayi, they had carpet all in through the back of the shul, and where Rav was sitting, it was a ritzpa shel avanim. So Rav couldn't bow, but everyone else could bow because then no one else had a ritzpa shel avanim. So says Gemara, couldn't Rav just move? V'lezi l'gavit tzibur v'lin palalape. Let him go to where the people are and let him go bow at that point over there. So by lo by l'mitrach tzibura. Now he knew that if he would go, everyone would stand for him, and that was something you find a lot in Shas, that the Chum did not want to be matriach other people to stand for them when they would walk by. So he didn't want to move from his location. He thought everybody would stand up. The Iba, that's the Maisa they tell Rabbi Yaakov and Rameshra, I think it was the Torah Torah Masara convention, and Rav Moshe motions Rav Yaakov, let's go in through the back so that people won't stand for us. And Rav Yaakov stops him and he says, no, our Rebbetzins are here. So they get a lot of hana'a when people give us kavod. So even though we don't need it, but for the Rebbetzins they should get kavod. So okay, but generally speaking, you try to avoid it so that people won't.
Rav Schneer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. My apologies. So Rav Schneer and Rav Moshe, or just Rav Schneer?
Yes. Rav Schneer and Rav Yaakov.
Rav Schneer, Rav Yaakov. Okay, so says more of where are we? So v'lez l'gabi sibura v'lim palalape. So lo bei l'mitzvah sibura v'ibay seima. Or another possibility, even if the whole base of Knesset was rizpah shalavanim, and the isra would have only been for Rav for a different reason. Rav pishut yadayim braglayim hava avid. Rav's practice was he would do a full pishut yadayim braglayim, and that's what you're not allowed to do on a Ritzvah Shalavadim. No one else would do a full Pishut Yadayim Raglayim, and therefore they didn't have that problem. Ukadula Damarula Lo Asra Torah Ela Pishut Yadayim Raglayim Bilvad. Rav Paskin, like when Ula said that the Torah only asks a Pishut Yadayim Raglayim. Velipa Lalape Vlovlov Pishut Yadayim Raglayim. So why couldn't Rav just not do a Pishut Yadayim Raglayim? Let him be Nofel Lalapov without spreading out his hands and legs. Lo Mishani Mimin Hage. He didn't want to change from what his Minna Kavua was. V'i Bayasema, another possibility is that it wasn't Asr Midin Evan Maskis for him to fall on his face, but Rav never fell on his face because Adam Chashuv Shaini, he was an Adam Chashuv, Kidra Blazer, Tamar Blazer, Ein Adam Chashuv, Rashi Lipal Al Panav, Elim K. Nenek Yoshua Benun. An Adam Chashuv should not fall on his face unless he's going to be answered in his tefillah like Yoshua Benun. D'chsev, Yomer Hashem El Yoshua, Kum Lech, that Hashem said to Yoshua, Kum Lach, Lama Atanopal Al Panecha are the next words. So since at that time his tefillah wasn't answered because Klal Yisrael had sinned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you can't be nofel al panecha when you're not going to be answered. So the reason not to fall on his face was not to be mispazeh in front of the tzibur. It's going to be mischal shem shemayim if he goes through such a bizayon and he doesn't even get answered in the end of the day. So we have three reasons why it is that Rav was not nofel al panav, either because he and he alone was in front of an area that had stone, or he would do Pishut Yadayim V'raglayim, or he was an Adam Chashuv, and Adam Chashuv should not be Nofel al Apav. Tanu Rabbanan, Kida al Apayim. When we say Kida is the type of bowing that's on the face. Shenemar Vatiko Basheva Apayim Arza. Kriya, when we talk about a bowing called Kriya, that's al Birkayim, that's on the knees. V'cheinu Omer Mikroa al Birkav. Hishtachava'a, when we say the Lashon of Hishtachava'a for bowing, Zo Pishut Yadayim Raglayim. That's a reference to spreading out the hands and the legs. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, that Shenemar Avonavo Ani V'imcha Ve'achecha Lishtachava Slucha Arza. Arza sounds like the entire body is flat out on the ground. So it says the Gemara, Levi achva kida kamed the Rebbe v'itla. Levi was demonstrating kida, and that caused him to become disabled. V'ahaka garmele, is that what caused Levi to lose his ability to walk? V'amar blazer liolam al yitiach adam dvarim klapi mala, shari adam gadol yitiach dvarim klapi mala v'itla manu Levi. Wasn't the story that Levi spoke with chutzpah to the Ribbono Shalom, and that's why he lost the ability to walk as a punishment for that? Says Gemara, havaha garmele. He was punished because he was tiach dvarim. In what context was he punished? When he did something that was a sakana, when he was showing everybody how to do kida. So it was in that context that the punishment was meted out, but it was because of the reason that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him that punishment was because he was yitiach dvarim klapei maila. Okay, Beis Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up on the last line of the page on Chav Beis and Beis. Everyone have a good l'chedesh. Great day.
Thank you. Have a great day. Good for that. Good.